Geek News Central, show number 607, is sponsored by GoDaddy.com, Citrix GoToMeeting, and Infusionsoft. We're a member of the Tech Podcast Network family of technology shows. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you. It's glad to be back in Honolulu. Man, I tell you, it was hot in the valley. Talk more about that here in a second. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, you want to welcome the Ohana, all of the longtime listeners to the show? It's, boy, I tell you, it's glad to be back in Honolulu. It was like crazy hot in San Francisco. They were talking about all kinds of records being broken with the temperature, and it was in the airport. I guess doesn't get too warm in San Francisco from time to time, but definitely the AC didn't keep up. And I think everyone on my airplane needed a shower before we took off. But got home late last night. I got in here and basically said hello to my wife and checked on the kids and fell out. I've had a very full week basically attending the set-top box conference, as we talked about before I left to head out to essentially Silicon Valley. We're going to talk more about the set-top box conference on the next show. I have like 15 pages of notes. Really, they were all done within my iPad, and I'll talk about that in a second, but I haven't got them all condensed and basically want to talk about a lot of the specific facts that I learned there. But I will share one small tidbit with you before the next show. The folks that put the DVR in your homes through your cable providers or your dish network, they're scared to death. And they're largely scared because there's a great number of you that are buying Rokus. You're buying TiVos with extra service built into it. You're buying, or will be buying soon, Samsung televisions with apps in it. So that's largely why they're scared. And they're scared of Vudu. They're scared of Boxy. You could tell there was fright in the air. And, you know, part of it is that those communities or those companies, those stakeholders, those big monopolies like Time Warner, Cox, Comcast, Dish, and so forth, they have huge number of subscribers, but yet they cannot just go out and change boxes out that are in your homes because it costs a lot of money to do that. But let me say this, they're not going to go down without a fight. And I'll get into more about that in the next show. We'll talk about what I learned at Set Top Box Conference 2010 and some of my more takeaways. Of course, if you're a new listener to the show, hey, welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. You can check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. That's where you'll link to all 607 shows here at Geek News Central. And there's going to be more shows coming to you in the near future. I'm going to be starting to reach out to a number of shows that have, or individuals that have talked about maybe doing a show with us at Geek News Central. I'm holding auditions, and we're going to be adding as many as 5 shows to the Geek News Central network in between now and Christmas time. Finally, I've gotten kind of caught up, so I'm looking forward to being able to take on a couple of these little projects and talk a little bit more why I've been so busy. But get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to cover during the show. That'll get delivered to your email inbox. And first, I'll remind you of the show. Number 2, it'll have all the links to everything I cover, including things that you send me. If you have comments that you want to send to the show, geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can send to the voicemail hotline and make an audio comment at area code 619-342-7365. That hotline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's a place where basically you can tell me what you think about the show or add your own commentary to it. Of course, I want to encourage you, if you're not already, to watch the Tech Podcast channel. That's the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku or Boxy. And you'll find my show in the mix there on the video side. And for those of you that are watching on the Roku and Boxy, either on the Blueberry channel or either on the Tech Podcast channel, I want to thank you for watching. I'm starting to get a lot more email from folks. We'll cover a little bit about that during the show later when we get into the email section, of course. But if you're joining us live, even on Justin.tv or Ustream, welcome along. And I know it's kind of weird a day for me to be doing the show, so I doubt, hardly have anybody in the video stream tonight. So, but hey, thanks for hanging out with me. It'll be fun here. Okay, let me get into, just take care of a little business here. Hey, you know, GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here of the show. And if you're looking for a domain name, if you're looking for a server, whether it be a shared hosting account, a virtual dedicated server, if you need a little more oomph, or if you need to go really in the Mac Daddy and go with a dedicated server, GoDaddy has it all. Plus, they've got mailing list applications. They've got SSL certificates so you can run your a shopping cart on your site secure. They have all different types of tools that you can use to really beef up and amp up your online presence. And they really make it easy. It's all very menu-driven. It's a piece of cake. So if you're thinking about picking up and get started online or adding to your current bevy of domain names that you may have, consider GoDaddy as your new domain register. And if you're a new customer over there, use my code GEEK199. That'll get you .coms at $1.99. You can't beat that anywhere else. GEEK199. That code I'm hearing is being rapidly utilized, and I don't know when it's going to stop working. So get out there and check out GoDaddy. Of course, I got all kinds of promo codes that you can use at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you'll find my code Todd will save you 10%. Todd20 will save you 20% on a 1 year shared hosting account. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. We've got some $20 coupons, a whole bunch of stuff there. So definitely check that out. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at GNC. All right, let's talk a little bit about a new initiative I'm going to be bringing here to the show. Part of the things that I've been doing over the last 2 weeks has been really, man, I've been heavily engrossed in quarter four negotiations with our advertisers. And there's going to be some changes coming in quarter four. But it's really a, for a better word, it's taken up a lot of my time. Overwhelmingly so. And so that is, we'll be talking more about that as we move forward. No big changes here to this show, I don't think. But I tell you, it's the marketplace in advertising is changing month by month, and having to keep up with all the changes is at times can be challenging. But one thing I'm going to start here at the show, and this is completely new. Some of you have seen my media kit and have an idea what it costs to sponsor the show here, and but we're always looking for new companies that are, you know, considering to start advertising in the podcast space. And we always feel it's a great place for them to start is right here in this show as a test bed, because you all have been a superbly loyal audience in supporting the sponsors from month to month and year to year. So what I thought I would do, and this is something we do over at Raw Voice, but I thought, why don't I do this on this show? If you have a relationship with a company and you think that they would be a good fit as a sponsor here at the show, if you introduce me and that introduction results in a advertising buy, I'm going to set forth a standard finder's fee of 25% for this show. So if you find an advertiser that comes into this show and advertises, I'll reward someone a finder's fee of 25% for the first 6 months, and then 10% for the following 6 months if they continue on as an advertiser. So, and we'll even talk about maybe even extending that. So, again, a great way for you to be rewarded as a listener of this show by helping us find new sponsors while at the same time, you know, cashing in on a finder's fee. And if that grows into a bigger sponsorship over at Raw Voice, that finder's fee can turn into a pretty healthy sum of money based on our 10% that we give over there on gross amounts of money that you would earn. So love to take any inquiries. And, you know, if you want to know how the process works, just email me. And, again, this needs to be all in the up and up. I want it to be ethical. I don't want you to, you know, if you just threw an introduction, it'd be great. And that would help out. And that's, you know, using the social power here of the audience. All right, the Roku giveaway. Next show, we're going to be giving away a Roku. And what I've asked you to do on the last show was to send in your top five non-mainstream news sources. And here's the key. I got a bunch of you that sent me TechCrunch, Gizmodo, Engadget, O'Malik, and like four or five that were like mainstream top, you know, like top 50 tech blogs. I want your top five non-mainstream news sources, places you go that are kind of obscure, that, you know, really doesn't get a lot of traffic, but maybe by you. Send, again, five non-mainstream sources. Email those to me at geeknews@gmail.com. And then when we get ready for the giveaway, I'll just do a random pick and one of you will win a Roku. Now, of course, this week while I was in San Francisco, actually in San Jose, Apple announced their new initiative with the new iPods. Of course, I was sitting on, I'll tell you how I was actually doing. The conference that I was at was going on, and I was actually watching the keynote with an earbud in my ear and watching it on my iPad. So I had it turned on, and I was watching it. And before, and they were all talking about, well, if we hear about news about what Apple announces, we'll text it. Everyone around me was watching the screen of the iPad. I was the only one that could hear it, so it was kind of fun. To hear the, you know, and luckily the speakers that they had that hour were kind of so I wasn't missing much. But, of course, they announced the new Apple TV. Kind of mixed reviews, mixed thoughts on it so far from me, just based upon the simple fact that no apps. I was pretty blown away that they didn't go there. Maybe in the future they will. Of course, I pre-ordered two. And the reason I pre-ordered two is that, I'm going to have one on hand here to give away to the audience. We'll come up with a new contest on that probably next week. And I've got a kind of a little tricky way to do a contest next week. So we'll announce that next week and you'll get a chance to win an Apple TV. Okay, what else? Sponsor tweets, those emails go out tomorrow. So all of you that have been waiting on that email, that comes out tomorrow. So we'll get you guys kicked off finally. I pulled a 4 a.m. Working session while I was in San Jose. Why I did it, I don't know, but I just had so much work to do. I was backed up. So it was kind of a drag in about 3.5 hours sleep working the next day during the show, and but it was worth it. It got me all caught up. Hey, again, subscribe to the show, and you'll find that, of course, at geeknewscentral.com. You'll find the link there. And, of course, the listeners from 170 countries worldwide, thanks for being here and being part of the Ohana. And those of you getting watching, whatever way you watch the show or listen to the show, thanks for being part of the Ohana. Okay, let's take care of one piece of business here, and then we'll get into the full-blown content tonight that I have on the tech side. So, you know, Citrix has been a longtime sponsor here. And you guys know that I use GoToMeeting. It's a product that I cannot really live without. I use it on a daily basis. I even attended a meeting in the hallway via my iPad this time, which was pretty cool. It was the first time I practically used it. And here was a cool thing: was that this event was at a Holiday Inn, and Holiday Inns, you know, I'm thinking to myself, is a Holiday Inn really, you know, is a place to have a super duper bandwidth? That's getting 22 megs down and 12 megs up in a Holiday Inn. Now, it must be because it's San Jose and Silicon Valley area. They must demand that kind of speed. But I was like, 22 megs down and 12 megs up? I just couldn't believe it. So even at the conference, bandwidth was plenty. I think there was about 600 of us there. And of course, I was using my iPad the whole time to during the event, writing notes, doing email, checking Twitter, and attending a meeting with GoToMeeting. And it just loaded right up. I put in the code right in. Boom, I put a plug in my ear, and I was right in and participating. It worked easy. And I was even joking about it with the person that was sitting next to me, because I was loading it prior to me walking out, and the guy was going, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm starting up a GoToMeeting session." He says, "You can do that?" And I said, "Yeah, you can." I said, "Well, make sure you get over to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast so you can get a free 30-day trial." And he kind of looked at me kind of weird, but internally I'm laughing, you know. So, again, if you guys want a great tool and a great way to save money and become more productive, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for your free 30-day trial. Give it a try. And if nothing else, it's just the coolness factor, being able to do it on an iPad. You can't do that with any other application. You can't. And it's secure, works. It just simply works, and that's the best part. All right, let me go ahead and load the load up Chrome, where I've got all my tabs loaded for the show, and go over here. And I was kind of worried on a Friday, you know, what am I going to be able to cover on a Friday show that, you know, because it's the end of the week, it's a holiday weekend, people are going to be out on the go. Most of you won't listen to the show until Tuesday. But as I promised, I wanted to get a show out. So I thought tonight, what kind of kooky stuff can I find on the tech side to talk about? And, you know, a big problem they're having in prisons worldwide are people are sneaking in cell phones to the prisoners, and they're using them to do all kinds of illicit activity, call the girlfriends, the whole nine yards, surf the internet from the prison cell. Apparently in Brazil, a new way has been found to get cell phones into the jails. They're using bow and arrows. You know, imagine, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, stand away from the window. So they're shooting them in with bow and arrows. So some teen was paid to do it and shot him in, but he got caught. You would think that it'd only take a couple of misses, right? And they splatter against the wall, then they're down the side, and the prison officials would find them. But, you know, leave it to criminals to find good ways to, you know, fancy ways to get communication devices into a prison. Now, at the same time, prison officials are now using handheld detection devices to find those cell phones when they're in use as well and turned on. So, you know, where are they hiding those things? You think about that for a second. Oh, jeez. It's not smuggling them in. Just, oh my gosh, the lengths people will go. But if you got nothing else to do in prison, you know, you can do the time. You can, willing to take the additional steps necessary to make it happen, to get a device in. Okay, let's talk about texting. Over the last 9 months, there's been a huge increase. 65% of adults are sending and receiving text as compared to September of 2009. I guess it's almost a year. Where 72% texting by adults has increased over the past 9 months from 65% of adults sending and receiving text to 72% texting in May of 2010. They're also saying adults are typically sending about 10 texts a day. Teens who text send a median of about 50 texts a day. 5% of all adult texters send more than 200 text messages a day or more than 6,000 texts a month. So that means those of you that are considered 18 and above or adults are sending more than 200 texts a day. Come on, get a life. Please, if you are doing that level of texting and you are like out of college, please tell me why. Why are you sending, you know, what are you accomplishing with 200 texts a day? I mean, you know, kids are kids, but it isn't going to be long. They're going to have therapy sessions for people that are texting too much. They also say that heavy adult texters also tend to be heavy users of voice calling. Now, I'm a heavy user of voice calling. I have some amazing minutes per month that I run. I think last month, of course, I'm doing all my business on my phone. So, it was like 3,000 minutes or something was last month. So I spent a lot of time hooked up to that handset. Okay, how many of you have been in hotels lately? Of course, I spend a lot of time in hotels because I travel a lot. Why do they even have phones in those rooms anymore? Well, the hotel industry is asking the same question. Apparently, the only reason that phones still exist in hotel rooms today is that because in case of an emergency, the ability to dial 911 or call the operator for a wake-up call are the primary reasons. Other than that, there's no reason for phones to be in hotels. They make up just maybe a micro percentage point of earnings. So kind of an interesting take there on that. Well, you know, I guess that makes sense. But you think at some point that they would have some other type of simplified device. But if the infrastructure is already in there, then why remove it? Of course, I've been trying to, as I told you guys, find lots of new interesting content to bring to you. And this is an interesting article. It's not so much tech-related, but it's a response from an individual that basically is saying why I have an email signature. And I know many of you probably have email signatures on your emails. I do for all my business emails. I put a signature, have a signature line on there with, company name, title, telephone number, Twitter address, and so forth. But when I do personal emails to those of you that listen to the show or anything like that, I don't put a email signature on there. But it's being said now that people are going to individuals' emails largely to remember website addresses when they can't remember them off the top of their head. So this is a form of SEO, even though it's a minute amount of traffic. They're saying that everyone, if you have a blog, should have a, have your web address in every email that you ever send. So I guess I'll have to start doing that. Now, one thing I've been watching, and one thing I have a tendency to notice, is because I look at so many different websites, I notice when someone's website hasn't been updated in a while. And what I want to do is I'm going to bring up on the screen a website that hasn't been updated in a little bit. And I just kind of wonder what's going on with Scoble. Let me bring this up. This is an article that was written on Scoble's site on August 12th. And prior to that, Scoble's been updating his website on a pretty regular basis. But here it's been 18, 21 days. Now, I know he was on vacation for a little bit. But, all of his, most of his content on his blog is backed by the folks at Rackspace, who is his employer. So it makes me wonder, is there something going on with Scoble? Is he about ready to change jobs? Or what's going on? Why hasn't he updated his blog? Why has there been no fresh content? Makes you wonder a little bit, doesn't it? What's going on? Especially when mainstream bloggers like Scoble and others don't update, you really kind of start to question why, and especially because his blog is largely backed by his employer. You say 3 weeks, no blogging, no new interviews or anything like that. It makes you go, it really, really does. All right, how many of you have a Powerline device from Netgear in your home to do networking over a power line? Well, Netgear is now putting into place a new device, which will offer 500 megs per second via the next generation standard. And this is pretty exciting. The Powerline AV500 comes in either standard or power pass-through version and available in two adapter kits. The price for the AV500 line starts at $159 for the kit and will be start shipping this fall. This is over at Ars Technica. So this is pretty exciting stuff. It used to be that we didn't get very good throughput on those devices. And I've got two of them right in here in this, down here in these drawers that I don't even use. But a 500 megabits is pretty good. Now, the IEEE P1901 standard are promising speeds up to a 1 gig over over a power line. So we'll see what happens with this if they're able to over time to increase the speed on these things. But while most of us won't settle for anything, you know, we want that high speed transfer. 500 megs is still nothing to be shy about if it'll actually maintain that. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on this and see where it goes. But 500 megabits per second via the new power line offering from Netgear. For those of you that are on Facebook a lot, you may from time to time forget to log out and go to work and try to log in. There's a new activity, a new feature where you can basically log out by going to your account activity, and it'll show which devices are logged into Facebook. And if you need to end activity at a different location where you have been logged into, there's a little button in there that basically forces the logout of the other machine. And, you know, Facebook continues to be the leading cause of divorce. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are happy to use this feature to be able to log themselves out of their home computer, maybe. But anyway, this is a new feature available from Facebook. All right. While I was, of course, in California, the folks at Twitter came out with their iPad app. And I've been using Twitterific up to this point. And I was pretty stoked to load this and try it. It has a pretty nice little area for writing. And then it has some pretty cool features. Like, I've got this up on the screen, and it basically shows the timeline. And then it, you know, it shows the latest tweets. And then if you click on one of the tweets that has a hyperlink, it automatically pops up a window that loads the article in basically in the Twitter window without actually loading the whole web page. If you're not happy with just the summary that they provide, then you can click it again and it'll take it to the full website. So lots of cool features with this. And I was actually pretty impressed. I really, really was. And then if you're on an article and you want to forward it or retweet it, everything's right there to be able to do so. And you can go and look at people's profiles real easy. I think it's probably one of the best. Well, Twitter, I think, has hit a home run with this app for the iPad. So definitely check out the Twitter app for the iPad. Those of you that have been using it on the iPhone, you'll probably adapt real quick, but I think it's really cool. And the ability to shrink URLs when you're writing right in the device is pretty awesome. And I mean, it's kind of interesting. I was counting in the crowd who had what type of computers, because it's always interesting to see the makeup. Now, at the Set-Top Box conference, the makeup of the audience was largely corporate execs, very high-level folks. I think, again, the price to get into the conference was $600. It wasn't too expensive, but it kept a lot of people away that maybe would have been there otherwise. And the largely a PC audience. I saw a Mac here and there, and I think there was four or five of us that had iPads. They definitely talked about the iPad a lot. But what's interesting was they did a hand survey during the event, said, how many of you are going to go out and buy an Android app? And not a single hand in the audience went up. When he asked how many of you had iPad apps, there was 15, 20 of us that had them, which kind of shocked me, really. And no one had a PC tablet, but you could just kind of tell as looking around the group. Then another thing that I noticed was, watching Twitter, there was officially six of us that were Twittering the Set-Top Box conference and using the hashtag STB2010. And we've kind of found each other one way or the other by our pictures or profiles, and we were kind of laughing about it. Definitely, these high-level executive people don't Twitter. I heard people talking about it. Well, what is Twitter? What does it do? There's definitely some senior-level people that don't get it. And again, these were high-level people at Comcast, at Cox, at Time Warner. There was some good. Finally, there didn't finally see a Google rep. I didn't think they were there, but someone pointed them out. But pretty funny. Now, did you guys know the same day that Apple made their big announcement, did their hour and 15 minute presentation to the world, that Microsoft also unveiled a product? Well, if you didn't know, they did. And that just goes to show you the difference between a Apple event and a Microsoft event. Now, of course, the event at Microsoft was, you know, they didn't need to spend $1 million to announce a new mouse. They had introduced the Microsoft Arc Touch Mouse, available now for $69.95, going to be available in stores January of 2011. But yeah, kind of, you know, they made their announcement and Apple made theirs. So a big delta there, really. How many of you have a loved one or a family member that is doing dialysis, kidney dialysis? My wife's uncle, he's been on dialysis now for a while. I think we're going on 3, maybe 4 years. He's older, very hard to get a kidney at his age. And, you know, it's tough because dialysis doesn't complete, you know, it's not a perfect science. And many times folks that have kidney failure are going to spend a couple days a week hooked up to a dialysis machine. But the U.S. Renal Data System, which is being designed, which costs roughly $75,000, the U.S. Renal Data System estimates that dialysis costs roughly $75,000 per year per patient, and with more than 350,000 patients on dialysis, Medicare via taxpayers spends 6% of its total budget on for treatment for kidney failure. Now, they're coming up with, a group has come up with a potentially breakthrough device that is going to be able to be implanted into folks that are in the throes of kidney failure. And what they've done is they've taken the design of what was originally a room-sized machine and shrunk it down to about the size of a coffee cup that potentially will be able to be transplanted into thousands of and tens of thousands of potential kidney dialysis patients. And they're saying that this device is going to be very effective and may actually work a little better than the regular dialysis system would. So they're very excited about this. And with kidneys being on a shortage, never enough kidneys for the number of people needing kidneys. And largely it's because people that get a kidney oftentimes will need another one 10 or 15 years later. So this group is mimicking a proven treatment. So they're excited about it. They've been testing on mice and rats up to this point. At some point here in the near future, are going to be going into human trials. And teams from Cleveland Clinic, Case Western Reserve University, University of Michigan, Ohio State University, and Penn State are all involved with this. So there's hope out there, and we'll see how long it takes for this to make it to market. All right, how many of you live in areas where it's very bright? And even at nighttime, and you get ready to go to bed, you still get a certain amount of street light, or it's maybe city light, ambient light. There's evidence out there in the health tech center where those of you that are getting they have a lot of light in your area, you have a much higher rate of cancer. Cancer risk is much higher because what's happening is, and this was research done at a university in Israel, I believe, where they have shown a clear link between light at night in cancer in mice with the suppression of melatonin playing a key role. So it's basically because the amount of light that your body's being exposed to interferes with the body's natural production of melatonin. Of course, melatonin is a hormone released during the dark hours of a 24-hour cycle and linked to the body's cycle of night-day activities. I must not get very much melatonin. I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night max. So this is interesting. The researchers studied 4 groups of mice injected with cancer cells. The first was exposed to 16 hours of light and 8 of darkness. The second to the same hours, but with the melatonin treatment, and the third to 8 hours of light and 16 of darkness, and the fourth the same percentage, basically the one that had the biggest cancer growth were the ones that had the most light exposure. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check his article over on CNET. But keep your rooms dark, folks, and don't let that exterior light get upon you. So another reason to help with basically keep the cancer risk down. Do you guys think the Apple iPod's getting old? This is a question that's asked over at CNET. And I had to laugh because, you know, I remember that Saturday Night Live skit where, you know, the iPhone was getting so small and they held up their hands. Oh, don't you see my new iPod? But truly, the iPod now is getting about the size of, well, you know, what is it, 1 inch by 1 inch or something? And they were pretty, you know, pretty snazzy on how he's introduced this. Their products always look cool. But, you know, how many times do you repackage this thing? And, you know, I don't know. Now, you know, the iPod Touch, the update to that looked pretty nice. And, you know, the mini one with the small screen looked pretty cool. But, you know, I don't know. How small do we need to go? And what do you guys think about the whole new iPod lineup? Does it matter anymore? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. All right, Apple's browsing share tops Linux, Android steals share everywhere. So what that really means is the number of browsers with a basically being identified as from an Apple device is now more than what's being identified from Linux machines. And Android is basically grabbing market share from everyone. So and this is on mobile devices. From a company called Quantcast says that iOS, in other words, the Apple operating system, 56%. Android has 25%. 10% is other. RIM is 9%. RIM OS is 9%. And so it's interesting that how they're doing this here. Now, this is kind of misleading because they show a graph here of a mobile device, but yet they said in the article here talking about Linux. Now, that's not really fair. Are there very many phones running on a Linux operating system? I wouldn't have thought so. So that's kind of misleading title here by PC World, but they're definitely referring to mobile devices at this point. So anyway, we'll take that with a grain of salt and move on. Hey, NASA is crowing about their being able to fly a drone over a hurricane. Many of you that were out on the East Coast probably got a lot of rain here the last couple of days with Hurricane Earl moving up the East Coast, now a tropical depression, and basically just bringing a lot of rain to the New England states or even northern up in the Nova Scotia area. But NASA flew their high-altitude drone, per se. I guess it was a Global Hawk that they used. Yeah, Global Hawk, which is a pretty big aircraft, pretty big UAV in the UAV world. But they used it for the first time to do analysis on what was going on with the hurricane instead of sending a manned aircraft in to take a look. So congratulations to NASA for that. If you are a developer, Google Wave is going to be morphing into an application bundle for real-time collaboration, according to a blog post by Google Wave engineer Alex North. He goes on to say that they're going to expand upon the 200,000 lines of code they've already open sourced, detailed at waveprotocol.org, to flesh out the existing example Wave server and web client into a more complete application or Wave in a box. So North said, adding that the future of the recently flatlined Google service will be defined by developers that want to contribute to Wave. So pretty cool stuff what they're doing over there and actually opening that up and making the code available. YouTube is reportedly going to be maybe breaking even this year. And when I read this, I thought, YouTube has a potential to break even this year? You think about the number of YouTube videos being uploaded, the encoding required, the bandwidth required to move that content. It's significant. And if they're able to basically get this thing profitable. That's to me is like, wow. I don't think I've ever clicked on an ad on a Google video. Have you guys ever done one? Have you ever clicked on an ad on a YouTube video? I guess they're just doing, you know, getting a lot of eyeballs, you know, payment for eyeballs. But I don't know very many people that actually click on ads that are in pop-ups. And you're watching a video. You don't want to click away from that, right? So it's being hinted that YouTube may go profitable this year. So only time will tell. All right, we talked about the battle that was going on with the subpoenas that were going out to people that downloaded the movie Hurt Locker via peer-to-peer. Well, those new subpoenas are going out, and they've been handed off to the ISPs. The pre-settlement fee demanded has been increased from $2,500 to $2,900, but it's being reported by the Electronic Frontier Foundation that they're hearing from a lot of people on the receiving end of these lawsuits who have no idea what it's all about and claim that they are not BitTorrent users at all. They say that this happened during the RIAA lawsuit period, but this is happening at a much faster rate with the U.S. Copyright Group that's really, of course, the law firm of Dunlop, Grubb, and Weaver, who are sending out these notices. So we'll see what happens with this, but a bunch of these are headed out with the new language, of course, that was made in the settlement between the EFF, the USG, and who else was involved in that? That was the one other group, one that we wouldn't normally think of. Doesn't matter. But anyway, they if you've been downloading that, get ready to get your subpoena. Let me go into some good news here. And I saw this today for the first time, and I was like, yes. And this article over on Engadget. You guys know I'm a big Roku fan. And, of course, we have channels on Roku. Roku XD and Netgear Roku XD player have hit the FCC. So it appears that Netgear is going to be coming out with a Roku XD player. I am totally, totally jazzed because up to this point, Roku has only been available via an online website. So if Netgear has licensed their technology and keeps all the channel stuff in there and starts selling this, that means that we're going to be able to use Netgear's distribution chain to get Netgear into Best Buy. I get the Roku into Best Buy, into Costco, all the different places where Netgear has distribution at. And these things are going to come off the shelf a lot faster, and hopefully with a new pricing point. I'm really, really excited about this. So, if you're not, I'm sorry, but this made my day. It really did. And of course, I didn't tell you guys too, but Angelo, our CIO at Raw Voice, he was out in Silicon Valley at the same time I was. He was attending the Samsung event. And I was able to get in at the very end. I basically flew in and drove through massive traffic to get into downtown San Jose to get into the Samsung event about the last hour and walk through and play with the new TVs. And I don't think this is a secret anymore. You guys know that we're developing an app for the new Samsung. Basically, everything that's basically in the Roku and the Boxy and then Vudu is going into the Samsung platform. This is going to be their own platform, so we're developing an app for that. And so I'm excited about where they're going and us being in that device here in the next few months. So potential 6 million sets that are going to be sold with their application layer built in, internet-connected TVs. So it's going to be cool. So if you're waiting to buy a TV, wait. There's much better ones coming very soon. Hey, Verizon officially announced prepaid smartphone data packages. This is, boy, I tell you, after a whole flood of announcements by other companies, Verizon has officially announced its prepaid data plan for smartphones. A new 3G prepaid data package will offer smartphone users unlimited data for $30 a month. That's cheaper than what I'm paying right now. That's the thing. It makes me angry. Now, here's the trick. The prepaid smartphones include, now this is only smartphones. This is not a card, not a data card. This is a prepaid smartphone data package. So you can buy a BlackBerry, you can get an Android, you can get a Pixie Plus. For $30 a month, you'll be able to add unlimited data to that device, but it's not anything to do with their sticks. So it doesn't say if they're going to allow you to tether or not. Be cool if they would, but only time will tell. Hey, those of you that are business users, I want you guys to call attention to a cool company we're working with. It's a company, it's called Infusionsoft. And if you guys get a chance, what we'd like you to do is check out Infusionsoft. They have some pretty good offerings. If you're a slave to your small business, or if you're missing out on games, recitals, and holidays because your business needs you and you can't get away, Infusionsoft can help. Infusionsoft has helped thousands of overwhelmed entrepreneurs put their businesses on autopilot and really get their lives back through the power of automated follow-up. You guys can see on the video portion here that they've got some cool tools. And basically, if you go over to infusionsoft.com/pod1 to see it in action, you can do so. And all you got to do to check, basically get in more information about their services, fill out this little questionnaire, watch a demo video, and if you like what you see, you can continue on. And they'll will probably try to follow up with you. And if it doesn't something that you're not interested in, just go ahead and ignore them or respond to them. But this is pretty cool. Pretty cool product. And we've been playing around with their different services. And I like what they have to offer. So check out Infusionsoft. I'll be talking more about what they have to offer here in the coming weeks. I want to bring your attention over to a article that's on GNC. And I covered a little bit about it in the last show, talking about Twitter and their move to authorization, OAuth. And that, of course, happened. So a number of apps failed that were not updated. Most of the primary apps were good, but some folks found some of their apps not working and are still waiting for them to be updated. So were you affected by the change of the authentication protocol by Twitter? Did any of your apps die? If they did, love to hear your feedback. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail is 619-342-7365. One thing, too, another article over in Geek News Central that was written by Susabel, and she responded to my inquiry, or basically my, bashing of Hotmail all the time. And she says, Todd likes to ask a question. Why is Hotmail still around? He asked about it last week. It's not a huge mystery if you work in academics. She goes on to say, Hotmail, in the form of Windows Live, email exists on a great number of campuses across the country. So she goes into the reasonings why Hotmail still exists. And she had sent me an email on this. We covered it in the show, but I wanted to follow up. You guys can check this out on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Another article that was really a good one here. Oops, I brought up the wrong thing. Let me copy, and let me go ahead and little paste and go in here. Firefox Beta 4, and this is superb. Now, what really kind of surprised me, and Alan, if you're listening to the show, when I... of course, I have my own feed in my news reader and with Google Reader. And when I loaded that, I saw all your great graphics. So everyone, make sure that when you're reading this article on Firefox 4 Beta 4, that you click on the links. He's got beautiful graphics that he's captured that gives you the full details of what Firefox 4 looks like and the features. This is a great article. Thanks for Alan for putting this up, and another great contributor at Geek News Central. Now, we had been invited by the folks at HP to attend a non-disclosure event, basically go in and talk about, they basically were introducing their 3D laptop line. Basically, they clued us in on what was going on with their new HP Envy. It's a 17-inch 3D laptop. And this is the first 17 laptop to support 1080p, 3D, and Blu-ray all together. So the MV17 3D comes with active shutter glasses, which wirelessly sync with the HD display, giving you a full 3-day experience. So if you are a gamer, or if you're interested in checking out what's going on in the 3D world, definitely check out the HP MV3D. And then there's some more laptops that have been announced as well, and some pretty slick devices and some storage stuff as well that's available here. So I have this all linked up in the show notes for you to check out. And another great article. Thanks, Andrew, for putting this one up. One thing that I wrote up on a website that I want to bring to everyone's attention is an article that I responded to by Jim Lauterbach, who's the CEO of Revision 3. And I respect Jim. They do some great work over there. He had a great article on Ad Age about viral video advertising space. And I go into kind of my perspective of this and from my viewpoint of being the CEO of Raw Voice. And basically, here's what he quotes. Online, this is what I took from his article, and I'll let you guys should go over and read his article, but he says, online video creators, advertisers, and producers have an unhealthy fascination with viral videos, and that the obsession is dragging down the entire industry. Why? Because viral videos are at the core no better than a, and he uses a fancy word here, fluff-a-mutter, white bread sandwich delivering little or no value to anyone. And I basically followed up, and he basically said that I understand his frustration that I have when I talk with media buyers. Most are hung up on videos because it really has that coolness factor. And while at the same time, really about 99% of the media buyers is ignoring serial content. Of course, Jim and I both are in the business of serial content, or, you know, creating advertising around serial content. Now, you guys know, because you watch this show, you're a loyal audience, that, you know, what advertisers bring, and you support the advertisers that support the show. But when I meet with media buyers, their age tells me part of the story. Most media buyers that I meet with are 25 or under. They're young, and they've had a couple of years, maybe 1 year or less, or maybe 2 years of media sales. And most of them refuse to acknowledge the value of predictable episodic content. You know, instead they pay $4, $6 CPM to YouTube and try to latch on the viral video. You know, you're watching a viral video that's done 1 million views or 2 million views. You're not there to click on the ad. And, you know, it's a one-off. You thought, oh, that was cool, whatever it was. But did it really deliver an ROI to the advertiser? You know, and we've proven again and again that this space is a huge ROI driver to media buyers that most media buyers ignore. So I go on here, and I really, you know, I spent some time writing this after the last show, and love to hear your guys' feedback on my post, and read Jim's post as well, and, you know, tell me what you think. Let's talk just a second about Howard Stern. What is Howard Stern going to do? You guys know his contract at Sirius is coming up. He has 4 months left. If you like Howard's content or not, it doesn't matter. He's got a huge, huge following. And of course, he had basically this world record contract deal with them. So now that Sirius and XM are joined at the hip, you know, it's who knows what's going to happen. But how many of you have a Sirius or XM subscription specifically to listen to Howard Stern? What would you do with your Sirius or XM subscription if Howard Stern left Sirius and XM? You know, Howard has poo-pooed the podcast media space or digital space. I think he doesn't fully understand it. Maybe he does more than he lets on. He's a very smart businessman, no matter what. He has said publicly that he is not going to retire. He has a 4-point plan for what's going to happen, one of those being renewing with Sirius and XM. But the question will be, what does he do? If he, you know, he has been out of the box, but for 4 or 5 years now, he's been able to say anything, do anything, show anything, you name it, he's done it. And it's definitely not child safe. is that most stuff is not work safe. So where does he go? What does he do next? How can he top this? And I don't think he can. I don't think he can go back to terrestrial radio. He might be able to if someone offered him a big bag of money. It may probably a multiple armored cars full of money. But would he be able to bring his content onto the net and be able to charge enough for it to cover his, you know, he's going to have huge, massive bandwidth bills if he goes completely digital. Because his fans are going to, you know, I can't even, it scares me to think about what his bandwidth bill would be a month. And, you know, he's going to have a pretty healthy subscription fee. So if Howard left Sirius, would you pay $20 or $25 to listen to to Howard every month? Would that be, or what would you pay? And not have the ability to listen to the other Sirius channels, which you're paying for otherwise. So for those of you that are Howard Stern fans, I guess the question I have for you is what would you pay for Howard Stern alone? If he went completely digital and was no longer on XM, not on terrestrial, the only way you could get him was through a subscription digitally, and you could stream a show live via the internet, get it via podcast and so forth, how much would you pay? I don't think, in all honesty, that this would do well for him. He's a live type of guy, live streaming. Most of Howard's fans are, a lot of Howard's fans are long-haul truck drivers. So it's not like they can stream the show. They wouldn't be able to hear it when they're on the road. So we'd lose all the audience that now can get him via XM and Sirius when they're mobile. I'll be honest with you. I think there's no way in the world that he is going to leave Sirius and XM. I think he's going to renew for a certain amount of money. I don't think they can afford to let him leave. I think there's no way in the world that he is going to be able to do it digitally and be able to reach his entire audience at the time frame and the way he wants to. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on this. And this, you know, this guy could change the game plan for all, you know, he could really open it up for all of us to do something different. So we'll see. Are you a user of the Vox blogging service? Folks over at Wired are reporting that the folks at Six Apart are going to shut down Vox. Users have until September 30th to vacate the premises. After that, Vox will be gone. So there are several export options. Six Apart has instructions for moving you to TypePad, Postgres, or even WordPress. And whoops, see me do that? Let me do that again. there's also an option to move your photos and videos over to Flickr as well. So we'll see what happens with this. But move now or forever lose your content. One of the most funniest things I think I've seen in a while, and I don't know if I can show this, and let me actually bring this up. Maybe you guys can hear it. I gotta have you guys listen to this. It's a YouTube video. Now let me go ahead and play it, and you guys listen in. Let me go here, okay? It's a guy brushing his teeth in the woods.
Just tell me you hooked up with that chick the other night. I'm sure you did. God. I'm sure you did hook up with that chick.
Will you leave it alone, please? Oh, no.
Damn bear behind you.
What?
Holy shit! I'll tell you!
So anyway, this guy is, this bear is walking into the camp, right? And his buddy's telling him, shoot the bear, shoot the bear. And he says, you know, I don't want to shoot the bear, shoot the bear. And it gets to the end, and there's a pop-up that says, shoot the bear, don't shoot the bear. That's at the very end of the video. You click it, it brings you to a page on YouTube where this ad, this multimedia ad happens, and then at the very top, it erases the title at the top of YouTube, erases the title where it says a hunter shoots a bear. It says a hunter, and it leaves a blank in between hunter and a bear, and you type in whatever word you want, and the video continues to play. This is pretty cool. I tried a number of words, some safe for work, some not. You can imagine what you can put in the middle of a hunter blanks a bear and put whatever words you want in there for blank. And just do it. Just go over and check this out. I guarantee you're going to spend at least 5 minutes putting in different words. You can try the word tickle or kiss or hug or whatever other word that comes to mind and play it and just see what happens. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun with this. I promise you, you will. And I know some of the language there when the video wasn't quite child safe. I apologize, but you're going to have fun with this. You are. I promise. All right, with NASA planning trips to space, or trips to Mars in the mid-2030s, the question has come up, what happens if an astronaut dies en route? What do we do with the body? And a new company has come up with a coffin for burial at space. Not burial at sea, but burial in space. And this is interesting. Now, the question I ask is NASA or China or even Russia, whoever, you know, I'm sure it's going to have to be some sort of a partnership that does this trip to Mars. Would they be willing to sacrifice storage space to carry a coffin of sorts? So that's a question we haven't answered or thought about. Long-term missions, obviously there's the risk of someone dying. Someone gets sick and they can't be operated on or whatever it may be. And you think about it, closest ER is, you know, how many ever million miles away. If you can't be fixed, you're done. And what do you do with the body if you're in transit? You know, pretty easy to figure out what would happen if it happened on the planet. But good thought, something to be thinking about, and hopefully we'll never have to bury anyone in space. All right, over on Boing Boing, Resignation Cake Sender is invoice cake delivered to people.com. There was an article last year where a gentleman by the name of Neil Barrett quit his job by presenting his boss with a resignation letter on a sheet cake. But that article, or that picture of that sheet cake that was delivered to his boss, was basically picked up by people.com and run without attribution. And the originator of that photo has demanded a $500 payment from the folks at people.com in the form of a sheet cake being sent to them, demanding payment. And for using that image, they've never ponied up any cash. They've never give this guy any attribution. They just used his image and violated copyright laws. So I think it's pretty cool that this guy sent the invoice for $500 to the folks at people.com. Hopefully they eat the cake and pay the guy. I think he should be paid because they would definitely tell us to take their pictures down if we used them. All right, let's talk about Ping, this new service that the folks Apple brought up. Been a million pings today, but they've had a little bit of a spam problem. Matter of fact, a lot of spam. It didn't take the spammers very long. There was tens of thousands of spam pings, and I guess Apple didn't think through too much. I haven't even played with it. Anyone play through it? What is your thoughts? And everyone's saying they failed just amazingly bad because they called it a social network. And it's not a social network. It's really not. You know, I just don't get it. I really didn't. You guys use it? What do you think? Tell me what you think. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Apple has posted a dedicated page detailing the new features coming to the iPad in November on iOS 4.2. So you can check out all the new features. Pretty cool feature list. The iPad's definitely going to get more powerful. Those of you with the original Apple TV, you're not getting an update. They're not going to update it at least anytime soon. So we'll see what happens. You're going to be able to continue to be able to purchase movies and TV shows through it, even though it's rental only. And finally, I have to give the guys over at MakeAZine.com a credit here. And of course, this is the Labor Day weekend. And I'm sure a few of you are going to be, enjoying a few suds that if you want to have a very cool cooler, they've got a how-to to build a solid ice beer caddy or whatever drink you want to put in there. So a pretty little cool thing. They'll show you how to make it in the short YouTube video. A lot of fun. Now, my wife and I and kids, we're going to do a staycation. Sunday morning, we're going to load the kids up. We're going to go downtown in Waikiki, check into a hotel and act like a tourist. My wife makes sure that they had a jacuzzi and a pool. Pool for the kids, jacuzzi for me and her. And we're just going to kind of kick back for, you know, Sunday and Monday. But I'll be back here, probably a little more sunburnt on Monday night for the Monday night show. So don't forget, we'll be here on Monday. And if you want to finish out your Labor Day weekend by watching the show, we hope you'll come out and hang out with us. But I do have a few emails to get into before I wrap up tonight. Got an email here from Jim. He says, "Hey Todd, NASA releases a NASA app HD for iPad, and he says this is available online. So I have this linked up in the show notes for you, Jim. Thanks for that. I definitely appreciate that." Got an email from Jeff. He said, "Here's a link for you if you don't already have it. That is, I hope to see this kind of tech before my time is up." And it's the future of mobile gadgets, flexible wrist computers. Jeff, thanks for that. Link will be up in the show notes as well. And we got a whole bunch of Roku giveaway emails. Got an email from Andrew talking about, he says, "Hey, Todd, thought you might find this interesting. YouTube top 10 wage earners, according to TubeMogul." My reply back to Andrew was, "Andrew, some of our podcasters earn more than some of these top 10 wage earners at YouTube." I was actually surprised how low some of those folks were being paid. Now, some of them made some great cash, but I have this link up in the show notes for you. Also, another link that Andrew sent me was a Google real-time search for business. I'll have that up. And I think that was it. If I missed any emails, I'm sorry, I was on my iPad all week. And if I didn't copy them over into the right folder, scold me via email. But really, that's it. Kind of short show tonight. We're at about an hour, 7 minutes or so into the production. But I want to thank everyone for hanging out with me tonight. It's been a pleasure to bring you the show on a Friday evening. Let me go through my list, make sure that I've covered everything that I wanted to talk about earlier. Don't forget, we're going to be having, again, that Roku giveaway. Send me your top 5 non-mainstream news sources. Send me those links before the show on Monday, and I'll put you in the running. And we'll add those links to my weekly, or actually bi-weekly review for the show. And we'll talk about the next show on how you can win an Apple TV. So definitely tune in to the next show. And don't forget, I'm taking auditions to add 5 shows to the Geek News Central lineup. Become part of the family here at GNC. Also, I'm going to give you some good insight into what happened at the Set Top Box conference and give you some really juicy stats. I love stats. It's always fun to share that type of data with you because presenters always like to brag and they always like to share stuff. But I've got that for you. So don't forget, geeknewscentral.com/offers, where all our offers are at. Insiders, looking to have more insiders join the insider family, geeknewscentral.com/insider. You can make a one-time donation or you can sign up for the $2, $5, $10, or $20 a month plan. We appreciate all of our insiders, and I'll be getting a new insider video put together here soon. Of course, if you want to pick up Ohanaware, you can do that at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Mugs, cups, shirts, t-shirts, you name it, pick it up over there. And thanks, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's been fun. And we'll see you next week. You guys notice a little change to the intro of the show tonight? What's your thoughts? Just trying to, you know, spice things up a little bit and move forward with the show progress. Those of you who are on live on either Justin.tv or on Ustream, thanks for hanging out with us as well. And those of you that have been watching via Roku or the Boxy device, and soon Vudu and Samsung, thanks for being here. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.